Okay, I've now signed into EVE and I'm currently on the lecture.euni chat channel. So welcome to the Uprising lecture. It's more of a Q&A as well. Plus I'll be taking any questions about my time in FanFest and anything that was said either drunkenly or not drunkenly by a dev to me, relating to the game, of course. Nothing outside of that, I'm afraid. Could I just ask that you keep your qu keep comments in lecture.eu to an absolute minimum? I'm going to need it in order to keep an eye on the questions and for anyone that wants to be asking. So, a quick introduction to me. No, Jeebus, I did not steal any rare stuff from the CCP office. They were watching me like a hawk and they had the computer monitors turned off, although I did see a couple of nice things. So, a quick introduction then. My name is Demi Fleetfoot, CEO of Dust University. I've been an EVE player for over 4 years now, and I've been the CEO for Dust University since the retirement of Keldum Levan, our previous CEO, who was also the CEO and CSM member for EVE University. As to yesterday, as I'm sure you're all aware, we had the new Uprising build. There were many things that were added to it, according to what I was told by one dev, close to 2,000 small little things, most of which you won't notice because it's all back office stuff. The basic points were the core UI, the new skill tree, an SP reset, we have some new weapons on the way, and planetary conquest, along with it looking a lot nicer. So I'll briefly go on with the core UI. We now have core mail. I am particularly happy about that myself. It just makes my job so much easier. The skill tree is now a node-based system. We still have the list. You can go into the neocom and see it. It is a little bit confusing for anyone that still hasn't spent their SP points. Read through all the skills very carefully. I will go into that in a little bit more detail. The SP reset was as a result of the skill tree. Because it was deemed by CCP, quite correctly as it turns out, that there was just no way of being able to have you all spec'd up into the same stuff as you had before what, and keep skilled and change to the new node system. It just wasn't going to be happening. The new weapons I will speak about because I've actually used them at FanFest. And also we've got Planetary Conquest, which was supposed to start yesterday, but hallelujah, the new CPM. In conjunction with CCP, realised it was probably a good idea to knock it back a week so we could all get the Uprising build sorted out. Okay, right, so I suppose we should go to the first question, which if I get my PS3 joypad, I can scroll up. Okay, so the initial one was that I've got here in lecture was what is DUni's initial impressions of Uprising? Well, I've had a couple of people already comment that in the lecture channel. I can only give you my personal impression. There is a lot of very, very good stuff. However, because they've added a lot of new things, they haven't, in my opinion, had time to beta test them. A lot of it you wouldn't notice unless you're a director. But suffice it to say, I am currently going through a backlog of deleting notifications for applications and exceptions and acceptance to the DUni going back to January. So as you can imagine, with a notification and then a notification for the application and then a notification for the person joining, that is somewhere in the region of 2,000 notifications I'm currently having to delete. There is a build coming up. But I really don't want to know how long that's going to take, so I'm just slogging through that as well. Now, Javis McKinney has just mentioned the frame rate issues have got worse. Well, I personally don't have any frame rate issues, but that's at my end. But it's entirely subjective, but I'm not getting any skipping or jumping at all like I used to do. I think that might actually be PS3, because obviously they have different versions of PS3 hardware and stuff like that. Might be a PS3 hardware problem, so I couldn't really comment on that one. Now the beard has mentioned something about the aiming. There is some debate in the forums about the aiming system currently in Uprising, and it's because you can now sprint strafe. A lot of people don't know that. I discovered that to my cost over the last couple of nights. Sprint strafing is basically they can strafe while they're running. And if they're running fast, like a scout, and they have a mouse and keyboard, they can keep track of you better than you can with them on a joypad. So this is something that's currently under discussion in the forums. And I would imagine there will be a fix coming soon. I am adding a list of stuff myself. I'm going to be sending it to CCP. I got asked to send stuff directly while I was there. Okay. We've got frame rates. It's a console game. Yes, it is a console goal, not a PC. And we've got a lot of E players that are kind of still annoyed about that one. So what else have we got here? Lodging mechanics. I'll go through with them shortly because I think they deserve a separate action. They deserve a bit of extra talking on that one. Let's just see. So we've got... you can... Ekerschleck. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. If you go into lecture.e, capital E, dash, uni, all capitals, and then activate the voice... on the PS3, you can hear me. So this is actually being done on both Mumble and the PS3 at the moment. So, like I say, I'm going like an organ grinder here with the keys. I'm just making sure everything's pressed down and I'm operating two computers at once and looking at two screens. So I know we're coming from PC with a stable 60 FPS. That does happen in PCs, but PCs are infinitely more powerful. So I've got up to all the comments and stuff like that. I will get back to Logis then. Don't worry about that. I haven't forgotten about that. I'm sure you'd remind me even if I didn't. If I did. Okay, so what did I personally spec into? I personally, because I was at FanFest and having a go on the Uprising build last week, and also was in the tournament where I came second in, but I'll talk about that later. I've gone into Galante assault suits. Now, this is something else that's actually confused a few people because there are Galante medium frame skill and then there's Galante assault suit skill. Obviously, this is different from what it was before because we've got full racial awareness now. But for those that haven't actually figured it out yet, I'm using the Galante as an example. Galante medium frame assault basically gets you into... An assault suit that has no bonuses or role-specific ideas, okay? So I'm currently up to prototype on that one. So that means I can get hold of the prototype Galante assault suit, which has 4 low slots, 3 high slots, and a hell of a lot of CPU and PG, which means I've got one hell of an armor tank on it. So that's the prototype medium frame basic suit. Then it starts getting a little bit more complicated because this is the same for all the races, by the way. And on the medium frame, we have the Logi and we have the Assault. Those are the same suits, different colours, but they have bonuses based on the racial spec of the race that created them. So on the Assault, on the Galante Assault one, it's, if I remember rightly, it's 5% extra on the shield recharge regeneration and a 5% reduction on CPU of hybrid weapons. i.e. assault rifles. That doesn't sound a lot, but it can help tremendously with the fitting. So although someone might have a Galante medium frame assault suit up to prototype, it's only the basic one, and they're not getting any bonuses for it whatsoever. Whereas if they spec up as well into the assault one, they'll also get the option of having the same suit in a different colour, but with the bonuses. And the other benefit of going into putting some spec into the Galante assault suits is that those suits are also cheaper. Not much, but they're cheaper. So it is worth you considering really specking into specializing it because you're going to save money in the long run. Plus, your suit is a lot better and it's less likely to get shot at. Okay. So that was what I personally specced into. Right, so we've got one from Ice Shifter, Child Has Spawn. Interesting name. Will the Uni be acting in a mercenary fashion come the 14th? Would we agree to attack districts for profit? Now, I'll answer the first question. Will we be acting in a mercenary fashion? In terms of the mercenary contracts, those ones that are faction warfare, because EUni is not engaged in Patron Warfare or Ivy League. I'll get back to you later. Because EUni is not involved in Patron Warfare, and there are no standings for Mercs to be participating in them, we will be doing Patron Warfare. You are entirely free to do it, and you can fight for whatever side that you wish to fight for. You are a Merc, after all. So, in regards of the mercenary part of it, you can fight for anyone you want. Now, would we agree to attack districts for profit? That is part of planetary conquest. Now, that is where we have already decided to take the line that we will be as neutral as we possibly can. I would like to be purely neutral, but if we're purely neutral, we can't do PC. But PC is very important for our training strict purposes. It is the only game mode that is going to have friendly fire on. And it's my personal belief, and therefore the DUni's belief, that for a corporation to take on someone that's already fought for DUni, expecting them to be trained in everything, and then finding that they're not trained in fighting in a friendly fire environment, is a bit like saying you can ride a bike and still have to wear stabilizers on the bike. So we have decided to do a minimal amount of PC work, and we're going to base it on one planet in Malden Heath, which is on the forums. I've taken to calling it Planet Dojo because no one can pronounce the actual name of it. We are hoping that other training corps are going to join us on that planet. It is my hope and belief that one planet is probably going to have more battles per day than any other planet. And it's going to be the noobs. It's going to be all the noobs being taught and how to fight properly. So because of that neutrality stance that we're trying to do, we wouldn't agree to attack districts for profit. We wouldn't attack someone else's district. Okay? Is the simple answer to that. Yes, Nadus, you can pronounce the name, I'm sure. But, you know, we don't like a smart ass around here. Right. I'm only kidding. Let's see, what else have we got? Do the nanite injectors seem bugged to you? Well, the simple answer is that, does a hobby horse have a wooden dick? Yes, they are very bugged. There just doesn't seem to be anywhere you can jump, stab anyone with it. I do know that it's been brought up. Again, it's on my list that I'm going to be sending in. Yes, it does. It is quite bugged. Now, there was a question about... Did someone put one about nanohives as well? I'm sure I did. I'm pretty sure someone asked about nanohives. They're also... that I thought they were bugged, but what they actually have done is they have reduced the amount you can carry with a militia version. So I thought for some reason I couldn't drop my second one, and it wasn't because I couldn't, it's because I didn't have one. So that was my little thing, but I've discovered that since. Part of the revival mechanic. The revival mechanic, Shrew. There is talk. It's on the... I believe it's on the Advancing the Core keynote presentation, which is on Twitch TV. There's going to be some iteration on the nano injectors, including giving short-term boosts for anyone that's been jabbed with them. As I'm sure you're all aware at the moment, if you are being shot down and on the ground and a logi comes to revive you, a good sniper shoots you again. Yeah, because you're very low with armor and what have you and shield. But they talk about having they are talking now about giving bonuses, short term bonuses. So for instance, you get your shield resists would go up by 50% or something like that, so you'd only have half the damage coming in for a short time. If there's any other questions about logis, specific ones, put them in the channel. Matt DeVray, Sell Assault Rifles. What do you think about aiming in zoom mode and how to cope with the light weapon range increase? Aiming in zoom mode, well, that's exactly the same as far as I can tell. I'm a big AR user, I always have been. It seems to be quicker. Doesn't seem as accurate with either the aim assist on or off. I couldn't tell you what it's like with a mouse. I'm sure it probably is fantastically accurate with a mouse, but I can't play with a mouse for physical reasons. My piece of joypad. And how to cope with the light weapon range increase. Now, this is interesting to me because I wasn't aware we had a light weapon range increase. As I understood it, and as I play it, all I'm sensing is that we have a reduced range. I don't seem to be able to hit people from nearly as far away with an assault rifle. I suspect it's a nerf. I'd have to go through the entire patch notes, but it also seems to be the same for a lot of other AR users. Okay, what we got then? Are the guys from Bojo really committed? You're talking about Bojo School of the Trades, who are another training corporation. These are the guys that actually discovered that it was Malden Heath. One of the guys whose name I should remember and have inexplicably forgotten at this moment went looking for it on the CC test server and found the districts. This resulted in a very amusing couple of days where CCP Fox 4 claimed that they could just change districts with a keystroke. But as CCP Fox 4 is a known troll for trying to get the players to get a ride out of players, it was not taken seriously. And of course, on the Dust514 keynote at FanFest, it was confirmed as Malden Heath. So that's a brief explanation for Bojo. Are they really committed? Well, they have less numbers than us. They have less than 200, I'm sure. Possibly less than 100, last time I checked. They only need two districts, so that gives you some idea. Whereas what I suspect we personally in D-Uni are going to need three, purely because there's just so many more of us. So as to whether or not they're really committed, you'd have to ask them. I do know that they were one of the first to bring up the idea of Planet Dojo. And Planet Dojo seems to be a solution to the problem of the training corps not being able to do friendly fire exercise that the community seems to be getting behind. Obviously, we've got other guys that don't like the idea of us, you know, taking over a planet and then expecting no one to attack us, and that has never been my assertion. Anyone is completely free to attack us. I would just prefer if they didn't. You know, if they did, we could do it in a controlled environment, because I think what we want to do with PC is for the betterment for the whole of the community. And I can tell you right now, from the conversations I had at FanFest, a lot of corps say stuff in the forums, but privately will tell me and other members they really like what we're doing, but they politically cannot say that publicly. They might turn around and say that, you know, they've never said anything of that ilk, but that's what they told me. So I have to take them on face value. We'll find out on the 14th. So let's see what else we got here. Questions, right? How many Reppers complex armor plates do you use on the Galanti assault suit? I have managed to get three working on it with the fitting skills I've already got. But not complex. I hasten to add that actually I've only managed to get advanced so far, but I've managed to get three advanced armor reppers working on it with an advanced armor plate. My own personal preference is to have two armor plates, one repper, and then a speed mod. At the moment, it's a militia one because I haven't specced up into the biotics yet. That way, you can just, you know, the tank with the advanced ones that I currently got is 150 armor points. And then I've got a shield extender in there. And I've got about 180 shield as well. So it's a bit of a beast. It'll be even better once I get up to the complex, gets the prototype assault suit rather than the basic. But that's how the weapon I particularly use on the armor. And the armor, in case you're wondering, the armor is now, in my opinion, a viable tank method. During the tournament at FanFest, I was armor tanked, and it was just such a joy having people with lasers try and kill me and not being able to. Because obviously my shields disappeared, and then they had to eat from all my armor, by which time, of course, I shot them in the head several times. I would use no more than two reppers in the Galante Assault, because you need to still have a bit of an armor tank. Doesn't matter how fast the reppers are, if someone's still shooting at you, they're gonna do more DPS than the reppers can put into the plates. Is the level one Galante logistics suit as bad as it looks? It seems like a copy of Mimitar with less slots, no advantage at all, and no high slots. I'm not a true logie. I haven't gone through everything yet. I mean, it only came out yesterday, and I spent a lot of time deleting notifications and going through mails and stuff like that. So I'm not a logie bro. If you're talking about the basic medium frame, but I don't think you are, judging by the way you worded it. I couldn't honestly tell you. You'd have to look at its bonuses, however, which I don't have on me at the moment. Its bonuses are probably what set it apart from the Mimitar one. I couldn't really answer that one with any degree of accuracy or expertise, because I'm not a logic bro. Perhaps one of our logic bro guys, there's two or three in here, could possibly answer that. What do you think of the new dropship controls, and how can there be more abuse in PC? Clark Morrigan, who's one of our top pilots, he says, I'm just going from my memory from what we were talking about last night, he says the new assault one is a little bit sluggish, but the lighter one, it dances, so he's quite happy with it, as far as I understand. Plus the fact you can shoot at people now personally rather than being a gunner, so he's particularly pleased with that one. And how can it be more use in PC? Because they can get people to places a lot quicker than an LEV. That is, you're going to start seeing a lot more of that, particularly with the fact that unless you spec heavily into the swarm launchers or the forge gun at the moment, the dropships do have a slight advantage over the fact that not many people can shoot them down. What we were doing last night is that we were just sticking by a supply depot, and as soon as a dropship flew up, we all quickly switched to the free anti-armor fit, and even a good specced up dropship can't take a barrage of about 10 players shooting a swarm launcher at it. It pretty much sorts that out pretty quickly. I don't actually fly, but from what I can tell from what Clark was saying, he likes the new control ships. They seem to dance. Plus, he was doing barrel rolls yesterday, which he's just showing off. So Chloe C. Connor. What's your impression? Are there more EVE players playing Dust or more non-EVE players? Oddly enough, I've just shown up in today's on the devlog on the dust514.com as part of the CEO spotlight. I actually brought up that question. When the D-Uni first started, it was the vast majority of it, in fact, nearly all of it, was D-Uni guys. And as the beta has progressed, from conversations I've had with people in-game, it probably passed the 50-50 mark about 2 months ago. And I would say right now, as in terms of our membership, I can't speak for other ones, but in terms of our membership at least, we probably have a majority now of console players rather than EVE players. This is possibly because we've had some talk or mention in PSN network and on the forums and stuff like that. A lot of people have been recommending newer players to us, which is also a piece of advice I give in the Spotlight, CEO Spotlight. I said, just join a corporation, any corporation, and you'll learn so much from the people you're playing with. We're obviously a little bit more geared towards training newbies and going beyond the basics, but any corporation is going to help you tremendously. So I would say right now, in terms of D-Uni, we have more console players than we do EVE players. Hazongsun, forgive me if I've pronounced that wrong. Range skill is moved, so it's a nerf. Yes, it's a nerf. As far as I understand the mechanics of the skill now, it is, in terms of sharpshooting, it just further, the Galantes, the assault rifle sharpshooting just further reduces the kick and the spread rather than increases the range. And now, in terms of the AR, what is important now in terms of range is the gun. The higher proto fits assault rifles have a larger range as you go further up. That is where your range now comes from, using better guns. Which to me is probably a little bit more fairer. It's going to be cost you a lot more, but once you get to the point where you're just using exclusively proto gear, you can probably play to make it pay. When you get good. I mean, when you get really good. I mean, the early part of the beta, which a lot of people here weren't in, I got something like 18 million skill points before the first reset, and I was fully specced out on the AR and on the assault suits, and that was pretty lethal. I was getting 32 kills. I was getting 32 kills for zero losses. So thankfully, they nerfed it a little bit, because that just wouldn't be very fun at all. So yes, it is a nerf, but I think it was a necessary one. The AR was not too powerful. It wasn't too powerful, but it was too good at being a jack of all trades and master of none. It was actually quite a good master of a couple of things. But that's just my personal opinion. There's going to be a lot of AR users that will shout at me for that one. But I believe that for the general way that the game is going, that is a much better way of system doing it. Are there any recommendations for regarding PS3 system settings to achieve the best result in video settings? I saw a few settings, e.g. upscaling. Typically, just put it on auto on everything. I've got a 37-inch Panasonic, and there are a couple of settings on the actual TV itself that are probably going to be helpful to a lot of people. What I would recommend, personally, this is what I've done, and I can't tell you otherwise to do it yourself because you need the equipment, but I have got the THX app on my iPhone and iPad, and I have an Apple TV. So using that, I managed to configure it all correctly, and I found within my new Panasonic TV a setting buried very deep in the menus that actually gives you a full 1:1 scale output. So I wasn't under the impression that the PS3 output in pure native screen resolution. So I've now actually got more information on my screen now, which actually does help the game a little bit. Not much, but it actually increases my field of view in the combat. But generally, on the PS3 itself, I would say just auto. It will just, if you've got a modern enough TV, the TV will talk to the PS3 and it'll be able to tell it what it needs to be on. Okay, so Alcus. I'm playing on a PC HD monitor, but to be honest, after about 30 minutes of playing, my eyes do really get tired. Yeah, it's not comparable to current PC standards. Again, It just depends on your monitor. Depends on your eyes as well. I'm not an optician, but I would imagine that if you're on a PC, you're sitting very close to it for a start. And to be honest, the field of view in FPS games and consoles, it tends to be a lot wider, a lot less narrow. So it's probably not a great idea to be sat. I'm assuming because it's a PC HD monitor, you're probably sat very close to it. That is probably not a good idea. On a console, on a PC FPS, it'd be fine. But on console ones, they tend to have a wider field of view. And if you're certain, if you're for designed for sitting further back in the sofa, if you're sat up close to it and you're looking at this wide field of view in a narrow vision so close to it, it is going to give you a lot of strain. That's just my own, from my own experience. So my suggestion would be just to sit back a little bit further. Blindus Man question. What is your opinion of the new? I'm perfectly fine with it. Well, all I'm bothered about is whether or not the burst rifle is still as accurate, which I find it is, because it's the only one for my style of play that actually I feel hasn't really altered terribly much since Uprising. That's just everyone's personal opinion. Eventually, further down the line, we're going to get tier 3 weapons, so you can put a scope on your weapon anyway. But that's a little bit. That's probably going to be another 2 years ago. Yeah. So yes, take 3 weapons. That was mentioned at FanFest, so you should be okay with it. But the ACOG on the current burst, now I find it more or less the same in terms of playability. Let's see. Shroob has got a question there. Okay. So Shroob, when you go down, you have to call for help from the overview in order to indicate your position to a triage. Is a distress signal range 30 meters, like I see? And what else can you add to this? That particular mechanic needs fixing, because you know you get the kill mail sort of thing, the kill information flash up. So first of all, you can't see if you've actually got any help coming to you other than there is a triage within 30 meters of you. I think the largest one is. Was 31. I saw a 31, I believe. But yeah, having to go into your overview and then call for help, that is confusing. That I've already noted that one, and it's going in my list of things to CCP. Okay. Do explosives present a problem then? Mass drivers and nades, I believe. I'm not sure what you mean by that. If you mean by the armor, by the armor fitting, then yes, explosives are the one thing that armor is not designed to do, which is why if you see a Kaldari shield tank on the field, and their shield starts getting low, they scarper because they know basically two AE grenades will completely knacker them. So your EM weapons are for shields, and your explosives are basically for the armor. That's the basic principle of it. And on that note, when it comes out next week, a very good combo would be a scrambler rifle with a flaylock pistol as your sidearm. Scrambler rifle just dissolves shields straight away, and then you can finish them off with the flaylock. Because the flaylock actually has got a fair bit of kick to it. Jack, do you know if they're working from booting you from the game? Yes, they are working on booting you from the game. This was brought up because of the PC mechanic. For any spies that are currently in this lecture, we know what you're doing. There are a lot of people, a lot of very fresh, suspiciously fresh and brand new mercenaries showing up to join us. And their plan is on PC day is to jump into the court battle and team kill us all. Because, to be perfectly honest, I think some of them are quite scared of some of our players. We've actually got some very good players in D Uni. Plus, it's just, it's they do it for the lols. But they're not going to get away with it for very much longer because it was brought up on several roundtables about this problem. The method that CCP Nullarbor favours is a roster system combined with a new role. Yes, we're going to get a third role other than director and CEO. That role would be someone who is allowed to go into the court battle and kick any player that shouldn't be there from any squad. So that will be coming. I couldn't tell you exactly when, but we are encouraging them to do it as quickly as possible. Otherwise, PC is just going to end up being a bit of a joke because you won't actually win by being better. You'll lose because someone else has cheated, essentially. I don't mind a bit of metagaming, stuff like that. But that kind of thing is cheating. Goes against the concept of fair play in a battle like that. And it's also, for EVE pilots, that sort of thing is to be expected. We know about that. We're used to it. But the demographic for Dust is console players. And that kind of behaviour is not going to be tolerated by them whatsoever. So there needs to be a mechanic in order to counteract that particular way of metagaming, I'll put it. That's my polite way of putting it. So, they are working on a booting system. There you go. Javis is on the chimed in there on the Galante standard Logi suit. It looks like, yeah, well, I'm not going to say that word. and Herpa has concurred. Swarm launches Tickle. Yeah, they do at the moment, Kane. They do at the moment because not many people have chosen to spec up in swarm launches. So you're probably having a bit of a laugh in your dropship. But trust me, having seen what they can do when they are fully specced up in competition, like I was last week, playing a character that had maximum skills and everything, they are not going to tickle. They are going to kick you from the sky. So you want to get prepared for that. So Shell Held Craze. Is there going to be a game plan? Is there going to be game plans to use them during defensive districts? We have got some strategies in place. A lot of it is dependent on people not cheating. for us actually not to have people team killing us. Because of the way the skill system is set up, there's going to be a lot more proto-suit use. But even with 6 million skill points, you should be able to get to a point where your main weapon is very highly specced and you are at least going around in the basic proto-suit of whatever suit you're going in, whether it be Logi Heavy or Medium Assault or Scout even. So it's going to be a lot fairer than what our court battles used to be. And also we're going to have restrictions as to who can join the court battles. At the moment it's just going to be the 101. So the 101st Screaming Leopard. So if you actually want to start taking part in Planetary Conquest within Dust University, I would apply to Truex, who's the XO, on our forums, and join us, because we have enough people to be able to defend at least 3 districts fairly successfully, as long as no one jumps into team killers. Iceman, how long does it take to become a level 5 on one skill? That entirely depends on the one skill. Now, there is a piece on our wiki pages about that. There is what is known as the training time modifier. Training cost modifier. Apologies for that. So, for instance, I'm just calling up the list now. If you could bear with me for a moment, I'm just going to call up the list of the new skills. Apologies, I am looking for that now. Yeah, I've got it. So, for instance... Yeah, your dropsuit command, that's a 1x training cost multiplier. Once you get a hang of the training cost multiplier, it is very quickly for you to work, very easy to quickly work out exactly how many skill points you are going to need to spec up into a particular role that you want to play. As it stands at the moment, it's on our wiki, but I'll briefly explain it here. The training cost multiplier can be up to a figure of 1 times up to 10 times. Okay, it's typically 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 10 at the moment. I think there's 1, 4 times 1. So for on a multiplier cost, training cost multiplier times 1 skill, your initial cost is 6,220 for to get to level 1. That then doubles on the next one to level 2, so it becomes 12,440, and so on and so forth, until it gets to the point where it's 154 to go from level 4 to level 5. So if you're doing your maths quickly, to get on a 1 times training cost multiplier skill, such as Dropship Command, to get to level 5, you would need 310,920 SP, if my memory serves. So if you remember, if you bear that in mind, and then go to say, if you got Dropship Command, and then go to say Armar Heavy Dropsuits, the training cost multiplier is 6 times. Okay? So if you take the original training cost multiplier from Dropship Command being the level 1, being 6,220, level 1 on Armor Heavy Dropsuits is 6 times that amount. So it's 37,320. Then you can, knowing that, double it and double it until you get to the next, until you get to the final amount, which I believe for a level 6, I did actually work it out for you actually previously. I didn't have it here on my notepad. I do have notes. Yeah, so to give you some idea what I'm talking about, a level 1 training cost multiplier skill is 310,920 to get to level 5. A 2 times 1 is 621,840. A 3 times 1 is 932,760 all the way up to level 5. Level 4 is 1,243,680. You can already see where we're going with this one. Still, of course, where you get to the Galante Assault drop suit, which I'm hoping to skill in. Eventually, to do it, it will cost me 3.1 million SP to get that into level 5. So we're in this for the long haul, guys. Okay, so yeah, it's true, because it depends on the multiplier. Again, the beard uses the AR. He agrees with me. The AR range death is fine. Baseman, will there be any corporation battles anytime soon? Yes, they're called Planetary Conquest. That is starting next week. The corporation battles, as they were 2 days ago, are dead. They were okay for organizing small training matches, but in terms of actual progression of our mercs, they weren't particularly helpful because there was just too much stuff involved in it. The faction warfare stuff is going to take place of that when they start coming up more regular. I encourage you all to do the faction warfare because the games are going to be tougher and harder fought on that. So that what they're trying to do is like pub battles are easy. They're all in high sec. They are all NPC corporations offering you money. The faction warfare is, as the name implies, faction warfare. So it's the Galante versus Caldari, Mimitar versus Aymar. And their points and the amount that you can win back are increased. And then the final one is Planetary Conquest, where we have friendly fire turned on. And we actually fight for something ourselves. This is our own stuff we're going to be defending. So the day that the Planetary Conquest gets turned on is the 14th. But because of the way that the reinforcement timer system works, the first battles aren't going to be until the 15th stroke 16th of May. And then they'll be every 24 hours. Again, they'll just have, there'll be one reinforcement timer per district. So if our plans to go ahead with the PC continue to work out well enough, and we have three districts, we will have three corporation PC battles a day, with a reinforcement timer scheduled for the time that most of our players are on, which is going to be between 2000 hours Eve time. All times I give out of Eve time, it'll be between 2000 hours and 0300 hours. Those are the times that our players in Dust University tend to be the most active, and we'll have more players to choose from. The way that we do this is that once we take over a district, the first 24 hours we can't change the reinforcement timer to something to suit our needs. After that, we can change it. However, when we change it for 24 hours, that district doesn't make us any clones. So it's a balancing act, a defined balancing act. So ideally, we want to get in on the day one and get districts that have a very close to a preset reinforcement time that's very close to what our mercs can do. In terms of getting that, I already have the 14th booked off. So, and a couple of the other directors have as well. So we're going to be making a mad stab. We're going to be making a mad stab at trying to get at least a district and then build up on that. So yes, they are coming back, but they're going to be coming back in a different way. Right, okay. Closey Connor, in case you have experience with Planet Side 2, where do you see the two major differences in playing both games, including the UI? I have had experience with Planet Side 2, and it was enough for me to not want to play Planet Side 2. Does that answer your question? I know it's kind of sacrilegious because we know someone, anyone in the E-Uni will probably know, we have someone fairly high up that used to be with E-Uni that works on Planet Side 2. So if he's listening, he's probably shouting at me right now. But I don't like Planet Side 2 at all. Possibly because it's a mouse and keyboard thing, and I just can't use mouse and keyboard. They're trying to go for the whole, we have massive battles over huge distances. But for the 3 or 4 days I was playing Planet Side 2, I was running around and not finding anyone to shoot, which is very dull. In an FPS, there's got to be people that shoot. And then when you did shoot, they invariably had some sort of aiming bot helping them. So, again, if you want my opinion about Dust ever being on the PC, I don't think it'd be a good idea purely because of the button. At least on the console, you don't get that. That's just my personal opinion. People do not like me for that, but there you go. Oh, right, Jack, been kicked from 5 games. 5 games in 2 days, and for some reason, I don't know why. I'm loathe to say it's a beta, because it's supposed to be full release on the 14th, but we all know it's still a beta. they're still finding stuff. For instance, the notifications that I mentioned earlier, yeah, that's just a nightmare currently. I need to pour through 2,000 notifications to try and delete them at some point. And then after I've deleted them, there'll be a fix. So I don't even bother doing it, but I'm a bit OCD enough to want to get rid of them now. Now, in terms of you being kicked and stuff like that, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but this came up at FanFest. The PS3 client actually does have a debugging login mode. So if you do crash for any reason, it knows why, and then it sends that information and automatically back to the server the next time you're hooked up. This is why when we've had this problem in the past, CCP have usually very quickly fixed it, because they get a lot of data coming back from all your PS3s, and therefore it works better for them, like I say. And it's going to continue even after launch. They're going to get all that data from you. So you are not the only one that's been kicked. I lost a lot of games last night. Fortunately, it kicked me and still let me keep all the prototype dropships I was losing. So that was good. Learned a few things there. Okay, any insight into the release of API keys? Also, how could these help players or D-Unit? Right, now, the API is an interesting thing, in so much as the PS3 client is entirely Crest, the new API system that CCP have developed. Everyone's been saying, when's Crest going to come out for Eve? I couldn't answer that, but I didn't have to tell you right now, Crest is in the PS3. What their problems that they've got now is just making Crest work with the legacy API on Eve until they get to the point where they can replace the legacy API on Eve with Crest. That's where the problems are causing. And in terms of what help they're going to be to players or D-Unit, the major help they're going to be is that eventually we'll be able to migrate our forums to the Eve University server. So we'll have our own forums entirely free from Sony, and you'll be able to join with other Ivy League players on the EUni server. They tried doing that just before the beta, and Keldon tried doing it, I think, and it crashed the EUni server. It didn't like it at all. And they are currently working very, very hard on the API for Dust in order to facilitate what John Lander, CCP Unifex, is wanting to do, which is all the mobile division. I'm going to be seeing CCP Unifex in 2 days, actually, because he's going to be at the Newcastle meet, which I'm going to. So if any of you are there, I'll be able to give you a business card that I took to the fan fest. I won't be wearing the uniform, however, that I wore at fan fest. I know some of you are going to be very disappointed in that, but in Reykjavik, you can walk around in a cosplay costume and no one is going to think any less of you or any different of you, because A, Icelandic people are absolutely nutters, and they love the Eve guys that come over there, and they're just used to this fan fest. Walking around Newcastle, as much as I like going out in Newcastle, wearing that suit, I don't think I'm going to last very long. So there will be pictures there. In terms of the API, it is being fixed and it's going to be a tremendous help, but it needs to work properly, yeah. Kane is going on about kicking. For anyone that's reading through or just listening, try deleting all the game mails and see if that works. There's a bug in the game that causes PS3 to freeze completely, and deleting in-game mails seems to help. That might do the trick. Actually, now you've mentioned that, Kane, that did seem to work for me a little bit as well. So you've got my agreement there, Jack. You can try that yourself. But obviously, you can imagine I've got 2,500 notifications that I'm having to pull through. Jason Sarah, will there be any organised D-Uni events to get newer stroke poorer players like myself involved? Perhaps organise social pub matches, work and play together, socialise, and ask plenty of questions. You can do that now within the current squad system. We've now got the ability to have 6 members in a squad. So there's going to be more people involved. In terms of social pub match nights, again, you can squad up, but there is an arena, well, Gladiator. There is a Gladiator game mode type thing coming up, involving some surface infrastructure, having a arena where we could host games that could eventually be streamed, and even further down the line, have ISK being bet upon them. So in terms of the social interacting chances for Dust to grow, we're looking very healthy on that one, but a lot of it is still entirely dependent on the things that CCP add into the game. In terms of the social things, I'll go back to the social things, you're going to hear a lot more from me in your court mails. You'll get more stuff on a daily basis. I'll keep you up to date with various things that I've heard or anything like that, purely because the court mail system now works. I can thankfully now type a court mail on EveGate on the website and then send it to you with one click. And all 700 of you will get it. And I no longer have to do copy-paste. When I get to talking about FanFest a bit later on, I will tell you the story about that, which will make you laugh. So there we go. So that's the next question I scrolled down. So there you go. Okay, and have you heard anything regarding training arenas or custom training matches? If so, when do you believe they'll be implemented? I've already spoken about what they are. In terms of implementation, I would say, with reasonable confidence, it's going to be well within a year, possibly within 6 months, if they can get the basics dampened down to a level where they're absolutely happy with it. Like I say, we got caught mail yesterday, but that's brought up a whole slew of other problems in terms of the notification system. For you guys that are just mercs, you probably have no clue what we're talking about here. But as anyone who is a director in DUni will tell you, the number of notifications we are getting through is just ridiculous. We have no means for it. So I'm asking for a way of being able to deactivate that, or some other word like that. Anywhere in training rooms, there is a training room coming up. They're calling it the Weapons Lab, where you will be able to test fire any weapon in the game, play around with it, see if it's something you like to go into, and then commit skill points to it. Obviously, there isn't going to be a militia version of every weapon in the marketplace, but it's going to be somewhere where we can all join in as well, the training rooms. And so we'll be able to fight amongst ourselves. This is all tied in with the arena gladiator mode thing I just mentioned. Coming soon, TM, for that one. But yes, they are coming. Hellcrazy has just pointed out for Jason that if you've got any question at all, okay, because I've got the court mail, I'll be telling you all this a lot more. If you've got any question, don't be afraid to ask in corp chat. And if you need to know who to ask, go to the DUni forums on forums.dust514.com and log in with your PSN account number and just look for the instructor's post to see who's available to answer your question. Okay. What's the deal with level 1 nano hives depleting so fast from the beard? Squad of 4, half empty each, only resupply 25% of them before it's gone. Militia one is just less laughable how fast it goes. Actually, I think it's more realistic, myself personally. It is a militia fit, and it encourages, the reason they've done it as well is because they noticed that most people just only skill up into level 2 of nanohives and then buy a load of Aurum nanohives, which do everything. They want people to actually skill up in it and be able to buy the ISK, choose to buy the ISK versions of it rather than just use the ORMs. And they'd already put in, for instance, the grenades on the hives. They only, on the hive system before, they only resupplied you with 2 times the amount of grenades that you could carry. And then after that, they were gone. They would not replenish the grenades at all. And that was just basically to stop the grenade swarms flying over. The build before Chromazone, if you had a squad that just had AV grenades, you could effectively put a minefield down because the grenades didn't disappear. Anyone that turned up in a tank just got blown up, obviously as an assault user. I'm happy to see tanks blown up, but not that easy. It was just stupid. And also, they couldn't see the grenade at all. So it was also an invisible minefield, which is a bit game breaking. That's the deal with the nanohives. Don't also forget the militia nanohives, as I mentioned before, only have one nanohive. They don't have two that like they used to have. Again, this goes with the whole ones and them wanting to people to spec into nanohives. We know lasers and scramblers do more damage against shields and explosives, do more against armor, but how much more? Is it 10% double damage, triple damage? It's not so much the damage they chuck out, it's the fact that on a laser, the damage resists on a shield are so much less against the laser, because the laser is designed to counteract a shield. In terms of the actual numbers, I couldn't get you that. There are posts on the forums where people have actually taken the time and trouble to, and God bless them for doing that. I just don't have the time for that sort of thing. Hopefully our R&D department is still working to get up and running and start doing stuff like this and getting the numbers for us. It would be just so much easier if CCP just released all the numbers, but for some reason they choose not to. So yeah, that's the difference. It's not so much, they don't throw out more damage against shields, it's just that the shields aren't as resistant to them. Eventually you're going to get modules. They're already with the vehicles. You get shield resist modules on the vehicles, so they increase the amount of damage the amount of damage that they can bounce off. Eventually those shield resists and also armor resists are going to make their way to the drop suits. And so, you know, instead of having two armor plates, for instance, you might have one armor plate with an armor resist plate to make it more or less susceptible to damage. The basic nanohive is not much better. Yeah, I know, Jeebus, it's not much better, but it's only two. It's less than 1,000 disc, if I remember rightly, so it's not hugely expensive. Vizeroff, now, question. How might D-Uni interact with PvE? Any guess on timing? Also, any thoughts on how it might work? Okay, right. This I do actually know a bit more about because I was at the presentation where they were talking about PvE. The idea for PvE at the moment is rogue drones. Any EVE player will tell you, are we familiar with the concept of rogue drones? So what it'll be is that what they're talking about is when we get planetary districts, not only do we have the corporation battles once a day for that particular district to defend it against an outside aggressor, another corp, we are also at random times throughout the day going to get rogue drone infestations on these districts for us to clear up. Eventually the goal is for these rogue drones to drop salvage, which we can then sell to the EVE players, who will then use it in business and manufacture to make stuff for us. That's the current thinking on PvE. They have other ideas, none of which I could squeeze out of them, no matter how much I offered to buy them a drink. But that's how the first wave of PvE is going to work in Dust. It's going to be rogue drones. Again, it was in one of the presentations. I think it might have been the CCP Presents one on the Saturday, where they showed representations of the rogue drones, both light, heavy, light, medium, and heavy sizes. So that's basically what's going to happen with PvE. Okay. As to the timing on it, again, they want to get the Planetary Conquest up and running. They want to get it running smoothly, and they want to get it running to the point where no one can mess up anyone else's game. So it's immune to, you know, jiggery pokery, unless they do it the old-fashioned way where they get a spy, work their way up into the corporation and stuff like that. That particular kind of metagame I've not got a problem with. But metagame, and that's just which is just cheating. That's, to me, is a very grey area, and best to be avoided. Okay. Right, so I seem to have caught up with the questions now. So has anyone else got anything particular that they want to know about, or clarification about anything that they want to know about Uprising? I'll pause a moment, because I know some of you have to type on that PS3 software keypads. Why do spies always prefer cake over pie? I don't know, Bid. You know, I prefer pie, meat pie. Meat pie's great. Cake's okay, but meat pie's good. More protein. Kane, fighters, I want, when do I get? Alright, fighters, I assume then you all saw the Caldari fighter prototype from the CCC Presents keynote. Just X up if you said yeah. If you did, yeah, yeah. The fighters are further along the line, but they are coming sooner than you would imagine because they were prepared to show us the Caldari one actually working. So I would say again, probably within a year. And you've got to remember as well, when I say a year, CCP have sort of like, although not publicly stated it, but their goal from the devs, all the devs I spoke to, their goal is for Dust to have three to four, possibly even five updates a year. All three, of course. Obviously, things may come up which reduce the number, but they want to try and get it to the point where we're going to have a new build every three to four months. The other thing about the updating system for Dust as well is that a lot of it is server-based. So they can make changes very rapidly, put it on the Tranquility server in London, and bypass Sony. They don't have to answer to Sony. They have to run things by Sony. For the big updates, like Uprising, that actually requires a massive amount, you know, what was it, 1.5 gig file? That kind of thing, they have to pass through Sony because it's going to be coming from the Sony network system. But, for instance, any buffs, nerfs, changes to data on a particular item, all that can be implemented server end from CCP and then just downloaded from after downtime. And that's part of the beauty of the client system. So in terms of it's like Eve in that regard. It's very quick for them to make changes. Okay. Let's see. Oh, you've all suddenly realized there's more questions you could ask me. Selkus, do we have enough IST to take over the districts we want? Yes. I'm not going to tell you how much, but we have enough. Okay. And now I actually have a court wallet that gives me transaction history. So I am going to try and make it a point. If I get donations over a million ISK, I'm going to try and make a point of getting an email to you just to say thank you. And if I forget, it's because I'm busy doing other stuff. But I cannot begin to tell you how grateful I all am to you for all the donations you get. The beard particularly, I'm going to give you big kudos. The beard chucked in 25 million ISK last week. Okay. So that was in one go. clear history quickly. I don't care if you give me 100,000 ISK or 100 ISK or 100 million ISK. It is all gratefully received. Yes, and Beard get 40 as well before that, but I couldn't actually see that before, unfortunately. So I do know it went up because someone mentioned it, and I know that I did know what the total amount was in the court wallet at the time, and then looked again and then saw that 40 million had gone up, and someone told me it was Beard. But now I've actually got transaction history in the court wallet, so then I can actually see. And the amazing thing is I can actually see what's in the court wallet on the Eve side. Okay? So I can't access it yet before you ask. But, you know, money coming from Eve isn't happening just yet. So Beard is probably the second or the third largest donor so far. It might not be a surprise to any of you that the biggest donator is me. I think at last count, I personally coughed up about 120 million ISK since the beginning of the beta for both D-Uni and the proto version of D-Uni, the Kival's Uni Dust Bunnies Corporation. So I've personally donated about 150 million ISK. That's a lot of AR gunplay that went into that. And I'd give 300 million if I had it. Yeah, but I've got to buy some suits. Anything new on the non-habitable planets? Yep, they're working on them. But they did actually see some artwork for it as well in the presentation. So yes, there are gas planets coming, there are lava planets coming. There are also going to be suit modifications coming for those particular planetary systems. So for instance, and also the environment is going to start affecting what you can do. So for instance, when the snow starts to fall in games, which is coming quicker than you might actually think, that's a little hint from it, your suits will start slipping unless you get better boots. So you're going to have that kind of environmental effect. The other thing that the snow planets might have is that your weapons won't heat up as quickly. That's the kind of thing that they are looking at in terms of the environmental change. Again, with the non-habitable planets, different things to do, different places to see, different people to shoot. If you saw the CCP presents keynote, CCP Zhen, Brandon Natano, went through some new map systems, new circuitry systems, and actually put up this very high-tech looking thing and just said, "Man, what's that in the bottom right-hand corner? That looks to me like the engine room of a Titan." So, we're going to start attacking Eve ships probably within 18 months. That's my guess, from an educated guess from the conversations I've had. They would love to do it quicker, but I agree with them. They need to get everything working up and running first on the actual basic core mechanics of the game. Okay. Sounds like a challenge, Kivo. No, you can chuck in more money if you want. Eventually, though, there is a taxation system is going to come in. You can carry on donating if you want, but I am going to. I'll give you a big heads up. I am going to put a tax in for the upkeep of the planetary conquest, but it's not going to be very big. Certainly not in the beginning. We have so many guys in the uni that are very active. Yeah, it is 0.05%, 0.10%, but it actually doesn't work. That was me testing it to see if it worked at the beta, and I've not bothered changing it since. Eventually, it'll probably be something like 1% to begin with. It might go up a little bit higher depending on how much stuff we need to do, because we've got plans for corp hangers and stuff like that, because the corp hangers are also coming in. They're on the roadmap. Also, the other thing that's on the roadmap is player trading. The market system isn't robust enough yet for a load of dust stuff to suddenly appear and be trading between the Eve players and the dust players. But we're going to get trading in the system, which we have in Eve. Hang on a second, I'm just taking a drink. Didn't realise I could guess along so much about dust. But then again, I did go to FanFest. So it'll be a simple system. It'll be a trading system. So, for instance, you speak to someone in a private chat and just say, "I've got 25 Kryn assault rifles that I can't use. Have you got any swarm launchers? Have you got any off-the-bit swarm launchers?" And you say, "Yeah, I've got 25 of them." Swap over, okay? Or you can actually just say, I have 25 Kryn assault rifles. Who wants to give me 10 million ISPR? Although, to be perfectly honest, 500,000 ISK for a Kryn assault rifle would be cheap, because they are kick-ass weapons. We're going back to the AR buff, range buff. The Kryn assault rifle still had quite a long range. I actually risked a couple of Kryn assault rifles last night, lost them, but I found that the range on the Kryn is just as long as it was before. Well, not quite as long, but it's, certainly got some reach. How long do you think we can play a trade? That depends on CCP. It is on their roadmap. It's not something that the CCP, compared to last year, are now very cautious about what they promise. Some people have said that it was a slightly lackluster fanfest because of that. But I would prefer them to be able to dream big privately, but tell us what they can deliver relatively quickly. the player trade system, Brandon Otano wants to get that in very quickly. The economy guys they got at CCP also want them to get that very quickly, because they're going to use the player trade system, and gate that they get, because they get all the data, they'll be able to gauge how interaction would work within the two communities. I would say probably within a year, probably sooner. There are many things that are coming in with a year, like I say. There was a good piece on the Mitanni.com talking about how the Mitanni has suddenly woken up to the fact that dust is real and going to start affecting these players. And that is actually something I'll speak to about FanFest near the end. Have I missed a question for Visibroth? Let's see. Let's go back. Hang on a second. Oh, yes. Larger vegetation. Yes, we're getting trees. we are getting trees. And very weird and strange looking ones they were too. I'm trying to remember which presentation it was, but it was the one... It was a little bit dry and technical to sit through, but they had some really nice artwork to show us regarding the socket system for surface infrastructure. But they showed us trees. We're going to have nice trees. And some of them, they had one example where it was a tree that was growing in a low gravity planet, so it was quite weird looking. But yes, there are more vegetation coming. So there was another one as well. Match type question. Yeah, we're getting a new game mode called Domination on the 14th, which is basically King of the Hill. So you're going to be getting King of the Hill next week, which I think is actually going to be quite an interesting game mechanic. So you got Domination coming soon, King of the Hill. Sorry to repeat myself there. What else we got now then? With the trading coming, do you see the active boost being used like the Plex? To be honest, no. The microtransaction system that we currently use in Dust, basically state that basically CCP's position is that there isn't anything apart from the active boosts that you can't buy with ISK. You know, there is an ISK equivalent of every Aurum item. And with that kind of game, I can't see the active boost being used with Plex. I can't imagine that Plex would be a commodity that they'll allow between the two games. No, I can't see that happening myself. Why push the weapons back until the 14th? I've no idea, but I think possibly it's what James is saying, public relation reasons. They said it needed a bit of a buff or an earth and nip and a tuck here, but when I played them, they seemed perfectly fine to me. Although, possibly they might be doing an earth to the scrambler rifle. Because when I say it takes down shields quick, it takes shields down ridiculously quick. It makes the laser look like a tortoise. So that might be a reason. And again, with the weapons, like I mentioned before, they're adding weapons and they're adding planetary conquest. All that is done via server. It's not going to be a huge update. It's just a question of them adding it and then downloading it on downtime. So I think there might actually be some truth to that, James. They might actually be doing some tweaking with the scrambler rifle because it was stupidly powerful, which is part of the reason why I think I did so well in the tourney coming second, because I went armor tank. Because I kind of figured everyone would be going after, could be trying to use the scrambler rifle. So a bit of tactics there on my part. It doesn't often happen. Sometimes it works. Okay, Jason again. Just in case you have some inside information, I'm hoping to trade in my PS3 to fund the PS4. Will Dust be available on day 4, or do we need to hold on to our PS3s? Put it this way. If there is a PS4 version of Dust, which, despite many devs getting very drunk, no one would say. It was a no comment question. I would err on the side of caution and stick to keeping your PS3 for the time being. It would be not difficult to do a PS4 port, and for two reasons. One, from what I understand it, because I have some friends that actually what they're talking about in this regard, the PS4 is considerably easier to develop for than the PS3. And also, as I've already mentioned several times, it's a client. All the information for the actual game itself comes from the servers. So all the client is a way of interpreting that data and displaying it in a way that it works for you. So I can very easily foresee, within the continuing lifespan of the PS3, current PS3, that there will be a time where PS3 and PS4s are playing Dust side by side on the server with EVE clients on the PC and the Mac. Okay, the only difference is that the PS4 will graphically look superior. Okay, Supreme is off that scramble rifle now, please. Yeah, if you like ripping shields down on a Kaldari, you're going to love the scramble rifle. No play skill. Actually, they are very accurate, so you know, you can't just point and spray. You do actually have to point them in the right direction. Okay. Could you give us a quick rundown of the skills to go for first? Not all require level 5 to get to skills which are more useful and probably more important. Right. Again, this is what I've been saying in the court mails the last 2 days. You have to be very, very careful with the skill point reset. There is one thing it caught me out on, but not by much. It was only one level worth of stuff, and I'm not going to tell you because it's kind of embarrassing. But I call it my Neocom now. Again, I'm multitasking here, guys. You've got to be really impressed by this. I'm holding down one button on my Mac keyboard to talk to you via mumble. I'm speaking to you via PS3, and I'm going through the skills on the Neocom with my left hand on the joypad. Okay. Now, the key with the skills, and I'm looking at the note system right now, is the key with the skills is to read the skill. It sounds obvious, but people have failed on that particular point. So, for instance, dropsuit command, that used to give you a 5% decrease in your scan profile. Now it does absolutely sod all in that regard. All it does is it just unlocks the medium suits at level 1, unlocks the light suits at level 2, and unlocks the heavy suits at level 3, and that's all it does. I believe that for the prototype, the higher level prototype stuff, you have to have dropsuit command level 5. But all dropsuit command is now is just a way of unlocking stuff. There are no bonuses applied to it. Okay, so another one. Let's see. We'll stick with dropsuits. So dropsuit command, just bear that in mind. Okay. So you've got to remember that the scout. Just remember that the scouts are level 2. Assaults and medium for all the medium frames, basic medium frames, that is ones that don't have a racial bonus are level at dropsuit command 1. The Galante lights, the scouts, they're at level 2, and the heavies are at 3, wasn't it? Yes, it was 3. To go along now, your Galante light drop suit gets unlocked at level 2. So those are your light drop suits at level 2 on drop suit command. But if you look on Galante light drop suits, what it does is it unlocks access to standard drop suits, level 1, advanced level 3, and prototype level 5. Again, this is where people have been failing a little bit over the last 24 hours. Those are basic. Although it says advanced and prototype, they are the basic suit. Okay? In so much as they don't have any bonuses. Okay. So looking at Galant Light. So if you get Galante Light dropsuits up to level 5, that unlocks Galante Scout dropsuits, which are specific racially increased bonused dropsuits, scout dropsuits. So for Galante Scout dropsuits, it unlocks access to Galante Scout dropsuits at standard level 1, advanced level 3, prototype level 5. But its bonus is 5% reduction to scan profile per level. So if you get to level 5 on the Galante Scout dropsuits, which is a 10 times multiply skill, so that's 3 million skill points to get that, you will get a 25% reduction in scan profile per level, plus a minus 10 to drops, plus 10% to dropsuit scan radius per level. So in other words, you become 25% smaller on signature, including any profile dampeners you might put on your suit. Plus, you have a 50% larger field of view on your scanner than anyone else. So that gives you a proper true scout system. Okay. So we've come out with dropsuit. Now this is where some people got thrown. Dropsuit upgrades. Now, if you do dropsuit upgrades, I've got it currently at level 2. Okay. It says unlocks access to equipment and dropsuit modules. Okay. So it unlocks at level 5. Let's have a look. Dropsuit armor upgrades. I've got that onto level 5 myself personally. The prerequisites for that one is that it requires dropsuit upgrade level 2. Okay. Biotic upgrades require that dropsuit upgrade is at level 4. Again, dropsuit upgrades doesn't give any bonuses. Okay. The key is to remember to look for the times one times multiply skills. That's the key. And to remember anything that's got a bonus is worthwhile you having. Okay. Straight away from the back, because don't forget these bonuses will affect militia fit gear. From the tournament and from the test PS3s they had, I was flying around in militia suits that were pretty buff. They were pretty good, purely because of the skill set of the player that of the dev hacked player that we were all using. So for instance, you go to dropsuit upgrades up to level 2 for me, and that gets you to opens up dropsuit shield upgrades, core upgrades, biotic upgrade, and armor upgrades. Your dropsuit core upgrades is an important one. You need to get that unlocked. It has plus 1% dropsuit maximum power grid and CPU per level. That doesn't sound a lot, 5%, but it adds up. It seriously starts adding up when you start wanting to fit the higher protogear stuff. The prerequisites for that dropsuit level upgrade one. It's a 2x training cost multiplier, so it's relatively cheap. So I would say almost definitely get your dropsuit core upgrades up to level 5 straight away. Don't even think about it. By getting it up to 5, you get the 5%, and you also unlock your active scanner, your drop uplink, your dropsuit electronics. Again, another core skill. This gives you 5% bonus to your dropsuit CPU level per level. Okay, so I've currently got it on level 3. That's enough to unlock the three things that are extra on top of it, the precision enhancement and the profile dampening and range amplification. It also gives me 15% extra CPU. The only problem is if I remember rightly, it is a 5x training cost multiplier. So whereas before, electronics on the old system was a 1x skill multiplier, this is a 5x one. But the benefit is going to be so great, you are going to want to have it. That also goes into dropsuit engineering. That's the same sort of thing. An extra 5% on your shield. 5% on power grid. Again, power grid is everything, particularly if you're going to go armor tank. The basic premise is shields use CPU, armor tank uses PG. If you remember that, then you're not going to go too far wrong. Weaponry, again, this is what people throwing people. Weaponry used to get you 3% per damage on extra on any weapon. But it doesn't do that now. All it does is it just unlocks access to light, heavy, and sidearms at level 1, light at level 3, and heavy at level 5. So if you have absolutely no regard to go towards forge guns or HMGs, just don't bother with that. Just go to level 3. You don't need to go any higher than that. So if you get up to level 3, for instance, you unlock all of the following ones in the next tier up. Again, heavy weapon, I don't need that. That needs level 5. I don't use that. I'm not a heavy weapon user. Light weapon operation, which is what you want for an AR, if you're using ARs or anything like that. That gives you a 3% reduction in CPU usage per skill. That is worth getting to level 5 immediately. Get that straight up. That's 15% less CPU that your weapon is drawing. Okay, and that's all light weapons. So that includes your AR, your laser rifle, mass driver, plasma cannon. The plasma cannon, by the way, kicks ass. You're gonna like that. It's a dumb fire rocket launcher. You get a good aim on that thing. It's got a slight ballistic. It doesn't fire off ultimately. It does fall to the ground. But if you get a direct hit on an LAV, you are gonna mess it up good. And it's got a higher rate of fire than a swarm launcher. Scrambler rifle operation, shotgun operation, sniper rifle, swarm launcher. And then each of them has got their own ammo capacity, and then proficiency, and then optimization and rapid reload. Every light weapon has got that. If you just go through it also, just remember the weaponry, you only really need to get to level 3 if you're only going to use light weapon. You don't have to go to 5, and it won't give you any bounty. This is where a lot of people have been going wrong. They've forgotten to read the actual description on the skill. So if you follow those basic rules, you're not going to go too far wrong. If you've kept your SP just purely because you don't want to get your ass, so you can use new weapons, well done to you. You've got more willpower than me. I want to get back into AR, so it was a no-brainer for me. I just spent my points on AR. Okay. So that's a basic rundown of the skills. So like I say, just read the skills, only get into what you need, and no more. Okay. Right then, so next question. What do you think of the camera sensitivity? I find the dust camera very slow, and most of the time I'm dead before I can even turn around. That is because we've got mouse and keyboard users. Yay for the mouse and keyboard users. I'm pissed, as you can tell, I'm not a fan. The reason that the camera is so slow is to nerf the keyboard and mouse, because obviously you can turn around. I don't like the mouse and keyboard because I physically can't use it. I get RSI in my left hand, very painful. I'd quite happily kill puppies if you would give me a pill to make the pain go away. But that's the reason why the camera is very slow. It's because of the, mouse and keyboard, I will freely admit, is a far, far superior way to play FPS games. I will acknowledge that right now, okay? However, they shouldn't, and because of that, they shouldn't really mix them, in my opinion. Because they have to nerf them to such a degree. What, light, you know, light, no. This is 35 years of gameplay experience telling you all this. They all get the experience to get used to, but the simple fact of the matter is a mouse user can whip on a PC and whip their character around from 180 degrees so fast. They just have the mouse on the highest sensitivity. It doesn't matter how much they nerf it. They still have it. And the fact is they can aim a lot better. Now saying that, there are exceptions that prove the rule. So, one of the guys in the tournament, I can't remember his name now, but he was one of the top 5 guys on the leaderboards on the beta up until like literally the open beta. And he uses a joypad because he's like me, he can't use a mouse and keyboard. Yeah, okay. I know it's superior. I freely admit to it being a superior system, but this, I am very much of the opinion, personally, that this is a console game. The mouse and keyboard is a throwback to when the game was being developed originally for the PC, and they've kept it in as a way of placating the Eve players that were annoyed that it's gone to the consoles. That's the only reason it's in. Okay. So, it's, you know. But for me, if they chose to make it, for me, if they chose to put it on a console, they should own that decision and stick with it. And they should make it so it only plays with what comes in the box with the console, i.e. a joypad. Okay? So then everyone's on the same page. Everyone's on the same level. Okay? Because there has not been a game ever that has that has mixed mouse and keyboard successfully. Mouse, keyboard, and joypad successfully. Because the mouse keyboard just gives you so much more precise control. That's just my personal thinking, and I wasn't backward in going forwards telling the devs that either. And whenever I said that was the only reason that it was in there, they all would say no comment. I think I might have touched a nerve on that one. But yeah, that's why that is basically that way it breaks down. That is why the dust camera is very slow. It's because of the nerf they've had to do to it in order to ensure that the keyboard and mouse players can't do a 180 flip in less than half a second. You know? And it would be absolutely ridiculous if a heavy could move along very, very slowly, but be able to whip around at the waist in like nano blinks. You know, it would just be completely breaking the game. Yeah, it's for my not hand eye. Okay. Right, I think I'm up to date with the questions again now. So, unless anyone's got anything more specific about Uprising, if there's any questions about FanFest at all, because my goal is to get more of you there next year. You have probably already heard stories. If you've watched Boots on the Ground at all this week, it was the first Boots on the Ground with guys that are actually at FanFest. You will already have heard tales of the legend that is the pub crawl on Friday night. All the legends are entirely true. I've just got someone keying up. I've got a dust merc keying up. If you could just talk in my ear while I'm trying to talk while doing a lecture, it's not easy. It's keying up. I'll tell you off in a minute. I can see who it is. Hey, I'm going to just say I'm quite pleased with the turnout tonight. I was expecting less, to be perfectly honest, but... Who's talking? I can't see you, but I know you're there. Nice headshot. There we go. My list hasn't actually updated yet. My goal is to get a lot more of you there. No problem, headshot. I'm not gonna come and shoot you in the head. Well, maybe not. Yeah, my goal is to try and get more of you there. And the reason is you will just have so much fun. It's unbelievable. But the other reason is, as I've mentioned, I was in the tournament, and I came second. And the only reason I came second was because I had a team that basically eight of which had never played Dust until the day. So, I want more D-Uni guys over there. So we can win the tournament next year. Let's see. Also on Herpidev, have all assets been sold, including previous salvage items? All my assets are completely empty. Everything except your officer items. Everything else got sold, and you got the ISK back. Okay. So for me, I only had four Kryn assault rifles. Okay. I've still got, I used up two last night. But I've got all the other Officer Fit Swarmer launchers, and I've got more Officer Fit submachine guns that I could possibly need. So, yeah, the only thing you should have got was, should have kept the Officer Fits. And any Aurum items other than boosters that you'd already purchased, you would have been refunded the Aurum on them. So, yes, Yeah, I want to try and get as many of you at FanFest next year as possible. Okay. About the 100 matches. Oh, right, what was that? A question about the 100 matches. 100 matches, 100 matches, 100 matches, 100 matches. Just scrolling back up through the list, I can't see it. I can't find the question. If I have missed that question, if you could just post it again. Apologies for that. Oh, right, there we go, found it. Has the HE Wolf been issued yet? I would have thought it should have been. I mean, I didn't make it, because I'm too busy doing this to play. I'm too busy doing things like this to be able to play the game so much. But as far as I know, it should have done. I would ask on the forums on that one. I'll certainly ask it, the support. I mean, unless you... Do you know specifically that you had gone past over 100 games? Were you sort of like... Okay, thank you very much, Elkis, for going. It's great. It was great having you here. Thanks very much. I would ask in the forums on that one. I'll just tweet one of the developers. I would imagine we would have had them before Uprising. I'll look at the original devlog. We might have a time frame on that one. So I couldn't give you a specific reason off answer off the top of my head on that one. I'm afraid did. But I can't imagine why they wouldn't have done. Just going through the questions now. Did I go to the concert? Yes, I did. Now, this is just a general piece of advice for anyone. If you ever get the chance to hear a full orchestra playing in a theatre hall that's been designed for orchestras to play, right, always go, right? It doesn't matter if you're into classical music or not. It doesn't matter what they're playing, but always get a chance because, you know, it's just something else, that kind of performance. But as it was, the stuff that they were playing was phenomenal. I mean, it's on YouTube, you can see it. We just don't get the presence of the instruments being there. And, you know, when you get that bass that comes off an orchestra, you know, it touches your soul. You know, there were people who have freely admit to welling up during that concert. Because the music's been, everyone says things like, Eve has sound. But if you've played Eve for any length of time, you've listened to that music. You know that music. And that music is also now deeply, deeply entrenched with the people of Iceland. Whenever there is a documentary or a program of Iceland, it will invariably be music from Eve that plays in the background. A good example of which I can think of is if you can find an old Jeremy Clarkson TV show called Jeremy Clarkson in the Motor World. He was in Iceland and I believe Red Sands Mining Corp, that was being played in the background, you know. If it touches my soul, I'll get burnt. Will I get burnt? In a good way, you know. It'll feel nice, warm, and fuzzy. The concert itself, the music, is going to be coming out as some form of download. I think they're planning to charge for it either. But as I say, you can already get it on YouTube. But they did have plenty of microphones around in front of all the instruments recording it. So I think they've also said in the Eve Special Edition Collector's Box set, there's going to be a CD of it. So you'll be able to download it relatively quickly. So where we are to now? Can't hit with that beard. In terms of cost, just save up. Trust me. Every American that has gone, right? And I don't wish to sound denigrating at all like that, but Americans don't tend to leave their country very often because they have quite a lot of stuff there to go see themselves. They don't really have much need to go. But I would say probably 70% of the Americans that I met at FanFest both this year and last year, 70 to 80% of them, in fact, have never left their country. And their expectations of Iceland were just blown out of the water. I mean, they just, you know, they absolutely adored the place. I mean, it is... Without a doubt. I've travelled around the world to various places, and Reykjavik is the one place I genuinely feel very sad about leaving. Which is a good thing, because it leaves you wanting more, but I cannot stress you. It is possible to not have fun in Iceland. You know, if you go to Iceland, you're not having fun. Check your pulse because you're clearly dead. And another thing, the women are spectacular. That's all I'm going to say on that one. Whoa, spectacular. Caleb, there was a question there from Salas. Not a proper question, but I'm the only one that thinks in fine time to spec all the way to 5 in race slot drop suit skill before being able to touch specialization drop suits. Get god tier basic suits. The basic top tier prototype suits are great, but you are going to hit, when you start getting to the complex modules, you are going to hit fitting issues. At that point, you're going to be very thankful that you specialize, because you're going to get, because the racial bonuses on specialized suits just help you fit more stuff. So you can get away perfectly well with having a medium frame up to level 5 and go around in proto suits and stuff like that. But once you start getting into complex mods being added onto it, you're going to hit fitting issues. So those bonuses are going to be very important. The Eve Collector's Edition actually just deserves a bit of a mention. You'll find it in the Eve Online store, which has been completely revamped, including a new line of clothing called 00. That clothing actually had some demo pieces there at Benfest, because they're not actually for sale yet. They're taking pre-orders on it. It's very high quality stuff. It's expensive, but it's very good. The Concord jacket in particular is very nice. But the special edition, if you're an Eve pilot, it basically gives you a code for various things, including, drumroll please, a golden pod. I can tell you right now that there were Eve players that would quite happily sell their soul for that now. So, and there's also going to be some Aimarian special gear for dusters in it, as well as the soundtrack to this concert. And it's also got an English translation version of the Danger Game. Now, for those of you not familiar with that, the Danger Game is the board game that CCP came up with in order to finance the making of Eve. And to give you some idea of how popular Danger Game is in Iceland, they believe that there is one box in 10,000 houses in Iceland, which doesn't sound a lot, but when you consider there's only 70,000 houses in Iceland, that's 1 in 7 of the population own this board game. So it's basically the Icelandic version of Monopoly. It's a very big game. And I mentioned to one shopkeeper that they were doing an English translation version of it, and he almost wet himself with excitement. So the collector's edition is quite a good thing. And there's also a USB hub that's in the shape of a rifter, which looks pretty nice, actually. What about the Las Vegas Fan Fest? Now, the Las Vegas Fan Fest, I would like you to go if you want to go, and I put Death and Shrew were in charge of that, so to speak. But there's not really much in the way of dusty stuff there. That might change because it's originally... Las Vegas Fan Fest isn't a CCP-run thing. It's run by members of Goonswarm that's expanded over the years. But as Goonswarm are suddenly getting interested in dust now, as if you've been keeping it with forums and Twitter and Boots on the Ground and Matani.com, you'll know that. There'll be some dust stuff. But I do know from CCP Commander Wang that there are American-based, more dust-orientated squads. Someone's keying up again. There's more dust-orientated meets coming up in the US within the next few months. So keep an eye out for them on the forums. Who's actually keying up there? It's very distracting. I'm hearing myself in my ear too, about a second after I'm speaking, and it really, really puts you off. There's actually a thing on QI, actually. It makes people not be able to concentrate. Yeah, someone's keying up. So can you all just make sure you've got your push-to-talk turned off? Right, so yeah, that's Eve Fan Fest, Vegas. You don't have to support Goonswarm. I will tell you right now from my own experience, I confessed, Goonswarm are complete arseholes in the game, but really nice outside of it. Everyone gets together. Everyone gets on at FanFest. There's friendly rivalry, of course, but there's no major... There's no problems at all with Goonswarm. Some of them believe their own press, but, you know. So what else was that? Do you think friendly fights should be switched on for all matches? No. Let's see. No, it shouldn't do. Certainly not in the pub matches, because you just have people team-killing. This is EVE, after all. If they were to have it in the faction warfare, I can tell you right now we won't be doing PC. Because, like I said before, we need the PC. We need the Friendly Fire element in PC. But it's only in PC, so we have to do PC. On, please. Does the star map have any purpose for us right now? No. It will do on the 14th, though. But if you use it, if you get familiar with it now, you're going to find how simple and elegant a solution it is to the problem that they had with the old star map, which was just a jumbled mess. Sorry, am I breaking up a little bit? Someone said I was breaking up. I'm okay now. So if you look through the map and go onto the, if you press R2 and go onto the factional warfare aspect of it, you'll see how the systems are changing between the factions. So you'll get some general idea where the mercenary corporation contracts are going to come up, because the system that is going to be employed is that the complexes that are completed in EVE are going to dictate where the faction warfare contracts are going to appear in Dust. So it's a very good idea for you all to get very familiar with that map. And like I said, that map is quite elegant in so much there's a lot of information being able to imply on that without much in the way of stuff getting between you and the UI itself. There are quite a few EVE players that are quite jealous of that map. So if you're an EVE player, you might see that map sometime in the future appearing in EVE. Let's see. What's the political situation between Uni and Goons? I thought you thought that they were allies? No. No, they are not allies, but they are not enemies either. EVE has a neutral stance of many things. Although when they go into Rose, into Losec, and into Nullsec, they do have a not blue shoot policy. But they are not allies in any way, shape, or form. They just don't. They have contacts, obviously, and they speak to each other and stuff like that outside the game, you know, and Twitter and what have you. But in the game, they are not allies. Every game needs a bad guy, and Goonswarm are ours. I think that's unless there's any more about FanFest. I mean, I cannot stress to you enough to go to FanFest. I want more of you there. Hang on a second. I have a cat that wants to be let out of the room. So just bear with me. You do not drink enough alcohol to enjoy it. Well, Iceland? The only time I do drink is in Iceland, to be honest. But you do not have to drink to enjoy FanFest. The atmosphere alone is just enough. Bookies have cats. This particular bookie has a cat in the house. It's not actually my cat. That's as much as I'm prepared to acknowledge the existence of the damn thing. Why do faction battles only briefly show on the map? Because they fill up quickly. People are on the gun, people watch the map all the time and dive straight into those faction warfare matches. Hopefully, as the system gets more robust and more used to it, there'll be more and more court matches, faction NERC contracts coming up. That system will get better and better. Was Iceland drunk dry? Or did FanFest fail in that attempt? We had already drunk dry several pubs by the Monday night. I was in the... I, as soon as you know, I won the CCP office tour. I chucked a plex in and I won the tour. much to the annoyance of a lot of Eve players, because again, they went lots of dust player going on the tour. And my answer was A, I shuffle in a plex the same as everyone else. B, CCP also make dust. CCP also makes dust. And C, none of your business. Get over it. So I went on the tour, which was kind of fun. And I told Hilmar Pearson, who is the CEO, that the pub that we were in on Monday had already run out of draft beer, and were serving bottles, and they were waiting for a new supply, and he was absolutely delighted. That's their goal. They do like us to eat, and now just players to drink the place dry. The Friday night pub crawl is something of legend, and this year there was over 1,000 people on it. Did you mind their seats, like I told you, and then tell the guide soon walk away, turn back and say to him, Mike, I advise you. I don't mind their seats as such. With the tour, I had some very interesting discussions with devs very high up in the ladder in terms of where dust is. So, and I've made some interesting contacts as well. I had a great time. And the people who are into Charlie Dust absolutely love that, by the way. They love Dust University. They love what we're trying to do. And they really dig what we're trying to do. They wanted me to make sure you all knew that. So pass it on. They can't support us overtly, but they do appreciate what we're trying to do. We won that flag. We won capture the flag on the pub crawl. Each of the groups had around 30 people in. There were 35 groups. Each had a flag. The Dust guys, not CCP Nullarbor, CCP Praetorian, and Fox 4 were on group 5, as were most of the CPM, and a couple of, and myself. And we all had a flag. We had flag 5, and then we decided to mix flag 4 and 1 and 4, and we won. So, how much is found first? Let's see. I did the whole thing for about 800 quid. That includes the tickets for FanFest, and I bought every ticket. I bought the early bird price ticket for the actual FanFest itself. I went to the charity meal. I went to the Golden Circle tour, which I didn't go to eventually because I was doing the CCP tour. I went to the Blue Lagoon. The flights was about 260 return from Heathrow. The room itself cost about 240 quid for 7 nights. You can do it on a reasonable budget for 800 quid. I had a bit more than that. I could have gone a little bit more than that. And I'll probably find out when get the next visa bill. It's just how much over I went over. But you could do it on a budget for 800 quid. In dollars, I don't know the exact exchange rate, but I would imagine it's somewhere in the region of about $1,100. $1,500 just for the flight? Where are you flying from? Mars? From LA? Oh, well, you might as well be in Mars then. really? 1,500 quid? I'd hitchhike to Canada and then fly from Montreal. It'd be cheaper. But yeah, I encourage you all, start saving up. Start saving up. I guarantee you're going to have so much fun. Right, so it is now, I have now been gassing on for about 2 hours now. So I think I'm about spoken up, unless you've got any more questions at all. Anything that's burning you right now? I mean, if you do forget anything, you can just email me in game and I'll get you an answer. How's Future Vision come in? When do I get to walk in the station and shoot a treacherous captain in the face? Is there one bacon to rule them all? Icelandic bacon. Yeah, corp tax is coming, and it's probably going to be 1%. But I don't know when corp tax is coming, but all donations are still gratefully received. 1%, I think, is going to be enough for the time being to help fund PC along with the donations. Once I get a rough idea how much PC is going to cost in out every day, I will adjust the tax rate to compensate for that. But I can tell you right now, it is never going to be more than 5%. We will run within our budget within 5% easily. And considering that there are cops out there with a 10% comp tax, you know, I don't think 5% is too bad. Okay. Well, I've got no more questions then. So I think we're going to wrap that up now. I'd like to thank everyone that's been here, that showed up. This has been an interesting exercise for me because, like I said, I'm operating a PS3, a Mac, an iMac, a PS3 joypad and a PS3 headset in order to do all this. So I do feel like something of an electronic surgeon on this one. This has been recording, hopefully. I'll just make sure it bloody has been because I said it to record. It's still recording. Thank God for that. So, yes, again, thank you very much for your time joining me. I did have some notes, which I've gone through, but this is more of a Q&A thing. This is more me speaking out loud than anything else. It was fun. Hopefully we're going to be able to do something else like this again soon. Hopefully, I will also try next time to get one of the CCP guys involved. I think they'd be very much up for that, I think. So I'll work on that one, and then I'll let you know in due course. Okay, so if that's for everyone, I'll wrap it up now, and thank you once again, and good night.